All right, aren't you excited about some of the things happening around here? Cross Point, I'm really, really fired up about this fall because, you know, you come through the summer. Sometimes it's a summer slump that we go through. People on vacations, mountains, beach, and here and there. But fall, we kind of all get back into the routine and begin to move forward. Also, fall is a time of harvest. And inevitably, September especially is just a great time that traditionally you see a lot of lives is just come to Christ. It's a harvest in the natural, but it's also a harvest time in the spiritual. And so, in fact, to preface that, our church just came out of 21 days of prayer where we were just praying intensely for 21 days in August, just believing for great things to happen this fall. And because it just has to begin there. It begins with the spiritual, and then it happens in the natural. And so we're just really ready and excited about it. And then next week as we launch our small groups where life really happens, really excited about that. And so just our prayer, our hope is that you'll just encounter life. In fact, today that's what I'm going to speak to you about experiencing life. And we have just come out of a series, Teach Us to Pray. We normally around here do series where in your worship guide you'll have message notes with fill in the blank. Well, today is what we call a standalone message. And so there's no blanks to fill in other than one big blank that you can just take all the notes that you would like to take today. But I just kind of want to be heart to heart, eyeball to eyeball today and just kind of just speak to you on this standalone message and just sort of recast a little bit of vision and really what it means to experience life, the essence of that really means, what that's all about. So today I encourage you, if you like the fill in the notes kind of approach, I encourage you to come back next week because we're going to begin a series that we've entitled You Ask For It. And the reason it's titled You Ask For It is because you ask for it. And that is that back in Easter, we did a survey. We do this every Easter now, where we ask, what would you like to hear about? And I know you might come from a tradition where you're saying, well, wait. The pastor's supposed to hear directly from God, supposed to give me what he says. Well, that's true. But if you look at Scripture, you'll see that the disciples oftentimes would have conversations with Jesus, and they would ask him questions. So, and based on their questions, he would begin to teach them based on their questions. So they would kind of set the agenda, what they'd like to hear about, and Jesus would address that. Well, that's kind of what this series is going to be about. You Ask For It. We're going to do a six-week series starting next week and just address some topics that are on the front of your list. And one of the topics is this: is this the end times? Are we living in the last days? That's going to begin our series. One of the top questions one of the top answers we got from our questions. And so we're going to address that. And so I encourage you to come back next week. I think you're going to find it very interesting and very much some things that can apply to your life in a very practical way. So today, I want to just take a moment. I want to begin with this scripture that's found in John chapter 10 and verse 10, where Jesus is speaking and he makes this statement. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And so that's kind of the bad news there. But here's the good news. Jesus then goes on to say, "I have come that they might have life and that they may have life to the full." They may have it to the full. And so what you see here in this one statement are two agendas going on. There's an enemy that has an agenda, and that agenda is to destroy your life. But the other agenda, and it supersedes that, and that is the agenda of Jesus, who said, "I have come to give life." And so one comes to take life away, one comes to offer life and to give life to you. And really the choice becomes yours as to whether you receive life or you reject life. And so I want us to think about this experience that we call life. Now, we're all here, and we're all here together, and we're experiencing this thing. We're living in 2015, but while we're all here at this present time, many of us may be having entirely different experiences from somebody else. How many knows that's the truth? Sometimes we think that when the way we see life is the way everybody sees life, and what we're experiencing, other people, it could be an entirely different experience depending on some things. I remember several years ago, I was living in Tallahassee, Florida, and attending Florida State University, and I attended a church there as I was going to college, and there was a, a pastor there who was wanting to have a revival. Now, I don't know if you know what a revival is, but back in the day, that's where we had a series of services. Sometimes they were a week long. Every night of the week, you just come to church and you just have church. And so a friend of mine up here in Charlotte that I knew, he was a very powerful preacher of the gospel. And so I said, you know, I got a guy I'd like to recommend to you. And so I made the recommendation. He actually came to Tallahassee, and he conducted these services at this church. And so when he came, though, his experience was not quite what he, I think, anticipated it to be. He actually became physically sick while he was there, so that put a drain on the experience. I don't think the church responded quite as he wanted them to respond. That kind of put a damper on his experience. And I remember asking him after that week, I said, so what did you think about Tallahassee? And he said, man, I don't know, I can't imagine anybody that would want to live there. And then he said, and it's so flat, and there's just like nothing there. It's just, and I looked at him, I said, flat? And I know it's not West Virginia, y'all, but actually Tallahassee is called the City of Seven Hills. And but see, he didn't see that. To him, it was a flat experience, you know, because of some things that skewed his view and skewed the experience. Well, it may be that flat describes your experience of life. It may be a valley experiences describes your experience. It may be that you're experiencing life on a mountaintop or somewhere in between. I know that life has its ups and its downs and its ins and outs and curves and twists and all those things. But overall, here's what I do know, and that is that Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and that you'll experience it to the full. And so God's will is that we will experience life. And so really based on some things, it determines. And so it could have a positive life or you could have a very, very negative life. And so it's not always about what happens to you. But can I just tell you, you know, because life will happen, right? We know that. Life will happen and life happens to all of us. But oftentimes it's not about what happens to you, but get this, rather what happens in you. Okay, and so life is going to be tough. The enemy has an agenda to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I heard somebody put it this way, that his agenda is to steal your joy. And after he steals your joy, because that takes your strength away, he then begins to influence your life and he kills your influence. So he steals your joy, kills your influence. But ultimately, his desire is to destroy your soul. But here's the good news. Again, God has an awesome plan for your life. And Jesus has come that you may experience life and experience it to the full. And so he offers, in fact, I say he comes to experience life, but he also, really what you read there, when you read what he said, I've come that you might have life. And you could pause there and say, well, wait a minute, I thought we all have life. We're alive, I got a life. But the fact of the matter is that it may be that you really don't have life. I want to talk about what that means, but let's just take a moment and look at this thing called life. First of all, when we look at what life is, there's a brevity of life. The brevity of life. Job chapter 14 and verse 5 says, a person's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot exceed. So there's a brevity of life. That means that your days are really numbered. Job 14 and 1 says this, mortals born of woman are few days and full of trouble. You only get a few of them, and then he puts this out there, and they're going to be full of trouble. And you say, well, couldn't you be more positive, Pastor? I'm positive. They're going to be full of trouble. I mean, trouble's going to come. Things are going to happen. It happens to all of us. And I would love to present to you this picturesque scene of this life is going to be perfect, and because life is perfect, therefore you're going to have joy and peace, and life's going to be great. That's just not the case. You're going to have trouble, but in the midst of trouble, you can still experience life and peace and joy, and that's what we're talking about today. So there's the brevity of life, then there's also the quality of life. You know, you talk about people want a good quality of life. And really, I believe the choices we make determines what kind of life we're going to have as far as quality. I love the 91st Psalm. 91st Psalm verse 16 says this, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And underline that word, satisfy. And Jesus is saying, I want your life to be something that is satisfying, that is fulfilling. life should not just be getting up in the morning. In fact, barely able to get up in the morning. You get to my age, you have to call a cab, come on, just to get from the bed to the bathroom, you know? Or you fall on your knees and say, God, just give me strength today. Some of you young people don't have a clue what I'm talking about, probably. But anyway, I'm just saying, it gets worse as it goes. But you know, life happens, and it becomes very difficult at times. But listen, God doesn't just want you getting up in the morning and just bumping your head against the wall, going to either school or to a job and coming home and eating and going to bed and going to sleep and getting up and go to the same room. There's more to life than that. There's more to life than that. And so Jesus says, I want you to have a life that is satisfying and that is fulfilling. And so when we talk about the quality of life, we're not just talking, some people when you say quality of life, they immediately go to money. Well, if I had a better income, If I had more a bigger salary, if I have a bigger house, or if I, you know, then I'd have a better quality of life. Can I tell you some of the wealthiest people in the world are some of the most miserable people in the world? So money does not necessarily produce peace, okay? And I love, in fact, we offer here in our small groups this thing called Financial Peace University by Dave Ramsey, and he talks about just some practical ways how to order your life as far as financial things goes. And I remember I used to hear him on the radio, and he would always sign off on the radio saying, look, money's not going to give you peace. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ is going to give you peace. I love that. So it's not just about money that we have a quality of life. And here's what I do know, and that is that God wants to bless you. He wants you to have a quality life. Third thing we know about life, and I want to talk about life, and that is the essence of life. The essence of life. And so this essence of life really is where I really want you to grab hold of this, and that is to understand that life, this thing, essence of life, is it's talk about the matter of life or death. Now get this. In John chapter 1, when John was writing about Jesus coming to this earth and describing who he is, and that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And he was describing and laying out in that description of who he is, he said this in verse 4, in him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. Now get this, it says, in him is life. You see, what I want you to see is that God is life. And only God is the giver of life. We can take it back to the beginning of our origin, to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, and we see that God the Creator came and he created life. And then he created us and he breathed life into us, and we became a living soul. We became alive. We were experiencing life. And then God gave some instructions of how to have a quality life. How to follow me and you're going to have peace, you're going to have a quality life. But he said, but if you don't, you're not going to have a quality life. In fact, he said, in the day that you disobey me, you're going to die. And then the enemy, the thief that we read about, comes along and says, no, God just really didn't mean that. Can I tell you, when you begin to try to conform God's word to your way of living instead of your way of living to God's word, you're in trouble. And so here they were, and they were listening to this lie, this thief, that came to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he said, well, no, you're not really going to die. But in fact, they really did. Because we need to understand the difference between life and death. And that is that sin came in. And God had a plan, though, when sin came in to redeem us. But when sin came in, it separated us from this thing called life. It divided us from life, who is God himself. And there was a separation. Jesus then came and he says this in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered and said, I am the way, the truth, underline this, and the life. And then he says, no one comes to the Father except through me, because here's the deal. Look at this. And let me just lay this one out. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, it says this. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Now underline that word dead. We were dead in our trespasses. And so coming to Christ doesn't mean that God just wants to take a bad person and make them a good person. No, it's much more than that. It's that you were dead because you were separated from life itself. The opposite of life is death. And so because of sin that separated us from God, we were dead. And Jesus came that we no longer be dead, but we may be made alive in Him. Is this making any sense to anybody? All right? And so in the garden, there they were in the garden. They disobeyed God. They were separated from God, from life. And the result was death. He said, in the day you disobey, you're going to die. And that dividing was a separation. It was a divide. It was a wall, this thing called sin, which is disobeying God. It's a rebellious heart against God. And he said, when that happens, you're going to be separated from me. So if you look over, you look at the temple that was established and represented how we approach God, before we got to that holy place, that intimate place of relationship with God, there was this thing called a veil, a curtain that separated us from God. And that curtain represented our sin. But the Bible tells that Jesus became sin for us. One verse in Hebrews says that he became his flesh, that is the veil. It became that sin for, was rent. And the Bible describes that when Jesus was crucified, the veil, that curtain, that thing that represents sin, was rent from top to bottom between us and the most holy place, giving us access in. Isn't that great? And so Jesus, but what it was not just a curtain. Jesus himself became that flesh, became that curtain for us. He was rent in two. He gave his life for us. He died for us so that we could live, so that we could have relationship with him, so that we could have life, everybody. Isn't that good news? Come on, that's good news. And so God offers us the gift of life today through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I know you messed up, you disobeyed. And that sin and that the punishment of that is death. But because I love you, I'll step in and I'll take the place for you. I'll pay your sin debt for you. And so God offers us life. So let me just ask a practical question today. And that is, so how do we really experience life? Okay, I'm here. I'm not sure whether I'm just surviving or thriving. I'm going through the motions. I don't have this satisfying experience that you're talking about. You know, how do I experience life? I want to give you four practical ways of how you can experience life. In fact, there are four, that's four things that we actually do as a church. It actually talks about that in our worship guidance. And we've centered everything we do around here at Crosspoint around these four things. So it's a good day for me just to kind of recast some vision today about what we do. But all of this is that you may experience life. And so I want to go through this. And that is the first one is that we know God. The first thing, the first step in experiencing Christ is to know God, to know God. In fact, Jesus said, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what is the truth? Well, Jesus already said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He stood before Pilate before he was to be crucified, and Pilate said, what is truth? And truth was staring him in the face. Jesus said, I am truth. I am truth. And he said, when you know me, you're going to be set free. You're going to experience life. You're going to encounter life. So our hope is that you, when you come to this service today, that you won't just experience some music and experience some preaching, but you'll experience God, that you'll have an encounter with God. Today we're calling it an encounter service because our hope is that you will encounter not just nice people, but you will encounter, there'll be a moment in this service where you will encounter Him. And you'll say, oh, there is a God. And He loves me. And He cares for me. A moment where you're not just hear God in your ear, but a moment where you experience Him in your heart and He speaks to you in this place that only He can speak to you, and you'll know that He is real and His love is real for you. Amen? Our hope is that you'll encounter God. And the picture, I want you to get a picture for each of these four points. And the picture I want you to see in this point is the picture of the cross. It's the picture of the cross. Cross is the most powerful weapon God's got in His arsenal against the enemy that comes against you. The cross is that place of great exchange where Jesus said, you give me your sins and I'll give you my robe of righteousness. The cross is that place where everything changes, where Jesus says, look, there is a price to be paid for your sin, but you do not have to pay it. I'll pay it for you. And simply by this thing that He gives all of us that we all can use, good or bad, but this thing called faith, based on what we put our faith in, it's used good or bad. But Jesus said, if you'll use this thing I've given you called faith, and you exercise this in me, and you'll know in your heart and believe on me that I'm the one that paid for your sins and accept that free gift of life, you can experience this life. Amen? And new life in him. And so encounter God. That's our hope, that you'll know him. And we have a phrase right here. We say, we want you to encounter the cross. Encounter the cross. That might sound a little religious. The cross, I don't get that. That was 2,000 years ago. But what we're simply saying is that you'll come to this place of acknowledging who he is and what he has done for us and his sacrifice for us and experience his love. And can I just pause right here and tell you one of the practical ways we do that here? And that is that Sunday morning is all about this first step of knowing God. That's what Sunday morning is all about. In fact, in America, it's my understanding that about 85% of people who come to Christ come to him in the context of a Sunday service or a weekend experience service. And so if that be the case, then why do we try to do everything and we can't do everything in one service? Our main focus today is that you will know Christ. Sunday morning is all about that. In fact, if you come and be a part of Crosspoint, this is our thing. We encourage everyone to invite your friends because, listen, we want you to be able to reach them, but we're going to give an invitation when they come here. And we're going to give them an opportunity to come to Christ. And with this promise, we won't embarrass you and we won't embarrass them because everything is going to be centered around being life-giving and bringing them to the life-giving message of Jesus Christ so that they'll encounter him. Amen, everybody? Can I get a good amen right there? All right. So that's what we're about on Sunday mornings, knowing God. Second step that I want us to see and experience in life is, and that is to find freedom. We want you to know God, but then also you need to find freedom. Because if you're in bondage and you're in bondage to your past or your habits or you're addicted to this or that or enslaved to things, you're not experiencing life to the full that God wanted you to. And so our hope is that you will find freedom. And we believe there's a practical way that God's designed that to happen. Now, stand alone is this thing called salvation. There's nothing we can add to that or take away from that. That's all God's doing. But this thing of freedom, he involves us in the process. And let me give you a scripture for that that's found in James chapter 5, verse 15, or verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective. And so he says there's a process for healing, and he gives it right here, and that is to pray for each other, that you may be healed. So he involves other people in that process. We're to pray for one another. We're to help one another. There's a reason why God built us for relationship. We all need relationship because God put us in this thing to help one another. And so one of the practical ways that we do that here is through small groups. Before I give you that, let me give you the picture of this. The picture of this is the empty tomb. It's the empty tomb. The tomb didn't look like it was supposed to look. Jesus died on the cross, but the tomb was now empty. He was resurrected. He was not bound by that thing called death. And God doesn't want you bound by anything. He wants to set you free. He wants you to experience freedom. And so the picture is an empty tomb. And what I want us to see is all the chains can be broken, and whatever chains bind you in your mind or your body, whatever it is, in your finances, God has the power to break those. But he does it through other people, praying for one another. And so we believe the practical way that happens here at Crosspoint is small groups, small groups. And you heard it here on the announcement video, and that is that we believe that life change happens in the context of relationships. It happens, you grow. Listen, you don't just need more information. You need relationship. And so our small groups are built about you getting connected with somebody. And here's the thing. We have curriculum. We have groups that have curriculum. We have different groups. You know, there's all kinds of different groups that we can offer. I don't care if it's throwing a frisbee. That can be a small group. Okay, maybe that's not spiritual enough for you, but we add a spiritual component to everything that we do. But here's the thing. It's not about the curriculum, and it's not about getting more information. You get plenty of that. The reason for small groups is the curriculum is just an excuse. Or whatever the topic is, or whatever the thing is, just an excuse to get you together in relationship with this one hope. And that is that you will get to the point where you get to know somebody in your group that you can get real with them. That you could take down the mask. And you could say, can I tell you something that I haven't told you anybody else. And can I share something with you that I need help with? And that person can pour into you and you can pour into them. Come on, somebody. That's what small groups is about. That's where it really gets fun. That's where it gets real. And that's where it gets exciting, all right? So be in relationship with one another, right? And that's when real ministry happens. And just to clarify, I'm not talking about a small group where you're in the middle of the circle and you're telling all your business. I ain't going to that kind of group, all right? What we're talking about is you finding somebody that you know well enough that you can get real with. And they can get in there and you can help one another. And I'm telling you, your life will change. You'll grow through that. So here's the deal. Next week, Pastor Steve is our small groups pastor. He was up here playing a guitar a moment ago. And he does a phenomenal job. And he's put together a phenomenal showcase that's going to happen next week. In fact, later today, it'll be later this evening, it'll be on our website. You can go to crosspointworshipcenter.com. And you can go to our small group page there. You will find a directory of our small groups that we're offering this semester. It'll be a 13-week semester. You can be in a group. They meet different places in our area and be a part of that. But next week, we're going to have a showcase. We're going to have after service. Today's food. Okay, next week, there will be tables out here. And you can connect and sign up for a group. And, you know, you can... In fact, you can go to a group, and if you don't like it, you say, they're a little weird, all right? God's got another group for you. Go find one that you can connect with, that you can relate with. That's all right, because birds of a feather flock together. I get that. And it's different, all right? It's different. That's all right. But find somebody that you can connect with, all right? Next week, you don't want to miss it. And I'm telling you, these small group leaders, there's more going through training, hopefully, today. Listen, they're going to be ready for you. Some of them going to offer you. I said we got food this week, but we may see some next week, too, at some of these tables, because they're going to be, come to my group. Here's a brownie. You know, and I've presented this as an idea. I don't know if any of them have done it yet, but, they offer you $100. They're going to offer $100 bill right here. Sign up my group. No, we're not going to do that. But really, get into a small group. It'll change your life. You'll find freedom. You'll experience life. Third thing I want to share with you, and that is that to experience life, you need to discover purpose. You need to discover purpose. Two great times in your life. One is when you are born, and one is when you find out why. And about 90% of Christians, this is a tragedy, never discover why. In an area they don't fit in, it doesn't work out, they're trying to do things, and their life just doesn't have fulfillment, doesn't have purpose because they're not fulfilling the purpose that God's designed them for. And every one of us has a God-given purpose, a unique design, right? Divinely designed, right? So we need to discover our purpose. Look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Love this scripture. It says, "For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So God has a work for you to do. And now, when you say that word work, that sounds a little scary. We didn't know nobody likes work. But here's the thing. When it's something that you're designed to do, it's not a chore. It's not a burden. It's actually fulfilling. It's like, oh. So what happens is, instead of it being a got to, it's a get to. Oh, I get to do that? In fact, around here at Cross Point, our desire is not to have a need-based ministry. You know what need-based ministry is? We need somebody to stack chairs. We need somebody in the nursery. We need somebody to mow the grass. We're not a need-based ministry. We're a gift-based ministry. And what that means is we want you to discover and help you discover your purpose and what God's called you to do and let you fulfill that. And so it's a gift-based ministry. What has God gifted you to do? And so you say, wait a minute, so I don't have to do the nursery, I get to do this ministry, or I don't have to do this, but I get to do the nursery. You know what I'm saying? Different people, so we want to make it I get to do this, right? Does that make sense, everybody? And when you do that, guess what? You're going to enjoy life. In fact, you're going to enjoy church. I know this is a novel idea, but we believe that church should actually be fun. David said, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let's go and ask the Lord.'" Right? I was glad. I can't wait to get there. This is going to be awesome. It's going to be fun. Not, oh boy, I don't know when's this thing over? You know, or rather you say when you leave here, is it over already? Right? I can't wait till next week. Right? And that happens when you find your purpose and you fulfill your purpose that God has given to you. And here's the picture. Let me give you a picture for that. Again, the picture for knowing God is the cross. The picture for finding freedom is the empty tomb. Well, the picture for discovering purpose is the upper room. You remember the progression there? It was the cross, it was the empty tomb, and now it's the upper room. And that's when the Holy Spirit came, and listen, the church was birthed out of this. God endued his people with power, with his spirit, and everything changed. Can I tell you something? God wants to pour out his spirit in your life. And see, God doesn't just want to clean you out. He wants to fill you up, right, to overflowing. And so God has gifts for each and every one of us to discover. And so that happens. Look, and so it happens in this place of discovering. In fact, we call this embracing the call. So we encounter the cross. Once you experience the change that happens in that place of finding freedom, we encounter the cross, we experience the change that happens through small groups, and then we want you to embrace the call. That means, what has God called me to do? Let me discover that. And so let me give you a practical way that we do that here in discovering your purpose, and that is the growth track. The growth track. You heard about it on our announcement video. We have this growth track that runs every month. We're taking this week off because it's the fifth Sunday, and if it's not a fifth Sunday, it happens every Sunday, every month. And that is a growth track that you can get on. Thank you, Theron, for throwing that up here. Church 101, Essentials 201, Discovery 301, and Dream Team 401. And it's a process that we're going to take you through to help you discover what your personality is, what your gift is. And it's just an awesome, it helps. We're going to share with you about the vision and how you can connect here, and then how you can discover your purpose here and how you can be a part of that. And it rolls every month. You can get on it at any point. You can get on it the first Sunday, we offer 101. Second Sunday, 201. Third Sunday, 301. Fourth Sunday, 401. Every Sunday. If you say, well, I missed 101. Well, jump on 301. That's okay. You can jump on it at any point and just pick up the next month because the wheel rolls every month. Every month. Why are we doing that? Because we want to make sure that you have a place to connect every time you come. We offer lunch every time. It's provided for you, and it's a way that you can get connected. You ever go to a church and say, well, how can I get connected? I don't know how to. I'm an outsider looking in. No, we want you to be able to jump on this wheel, and it's just a catalyst. It doesn't solve everything, but it gets you moving in the right direction, helps you discover your purpose of what God's called you to be, what God's called you to do. It's awesome. It's awesome. Okay, everybody get it? Everybody get it? All right. So let me go to the next thing that will help us experience life, and that's number four, and that's make a difference. Make a difference. You know, even a psychologist will tell you the thing that really causes people to be satisfied in life and enjoy life is to feel like their life is making a difference. And so we want you to make a difference. The scene here for this, the picture of this, is the disciples, those that were assembled there in the upper room, then spilled out onto the street where 3,000 were saved. And so our thing is we want you to engage the culture now. So we want you to encounter the cross, experience the change, embrace the call, and then engage the culture. So we're not keeping this all to ourselves. We want to make a difference. We want to make a difference. Let me give you a scripture found in John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." And so Jesus never intended for the work that he began on this earth to end. He intended it to continue and to increase. And he left us here to fulfill God's purpose on this earth. He left you and I here to do that. And so what we have, let me give you the practical on this. We have this thing called the Dream Team. You saw that as the last point of our growth track. And that is, we don't just want you to go through four classes. We want you on the team. So now that God, you know what God's called you to do, let's let you do it. And let's get you on the team. And let's get you serving and living that out. And I want to tell you, when you begin to pour into the life of somebody else and you see your life making a difference, and you see yourself going to the nursery, that area that God has called you to minister to, and you're holding a baby, and because you're holding that baby, ministering to that baby, you're allowing a mother to be in here and hear the message of God's love for the first time, and she gives her life to Christ, can I tell you, you've made a difference in her life. I'm telling you, everything we do around here matters. There's no big I's, there's no little U's. The foot of the cross is level, but we can all together make a difference for the kingdom of God. So I'm going to encourage you, if you want to experience life, do these things, right? Know God, first of all, right? Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And so, where do I begin? You might say, that's an awful lot you threw at me. So where do I start? Where does it all begin? Let's go back to the foot of the cross. To the foot of the cross. Bible says, talking about this life, how we were born. We were born in sin, the Bible says, and shaped in iniquity. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, there's a seed of sin that's been passed on. And so Jesus, his father was not Joseph. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And Mary gave birth to him. He interrupted that lineage of sin and stepped into the middle of that and became sin for us. And life begins where Jesus paid for our sins that we might have life. If you want to live life to the fullest, that's where you have to start, is at the foot of the cross. Let me just describe this to you. The cross, you say, well, okay, there's that religious thing again. What the cross, let me make this plain, is a place of surrender. That's simply what it is. Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father. And that's what Adam and Eve didn't do. They said, no, not your will, my will. Jesus surrendered to the will of the Father. And he laid his life down. Where what they messed up in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Remember? And so he surrendered his will. And at the cross, it's a place of humility and submissiveness, saying, God, your will be done. And it just really hit me hard this week. And I've prayed this many times in my life, and I've led people in this. But I was having one of those tough days. We have these tough days. And I was driving. And I just simply, with my heart, I said, God, and I was just thinking about everything I was going through right then. I said, God, I give you my life. And God just began to minister to me and strengthen me in that moment. And it reminded me that that's really all God wants us to do. And I would present this to you. I would say, if you're struggling, if you're having some difficulty and you're wrestling with life, I would encourage you to look at every area of your life and see if there is an area in your life that is not fully surrendered to Christ. And I would start right there. And I would say, there's the issue. It may be that you haven't surrendered something of the past to God. It may be a hurt. It may be an offense. It may be you haven't fully surrendered your relationships to God. It may be that you haven't surrendered your finances to God. It may be that you haven't surrendered just your emotional state, your future, your plans, your whatever that looks like. But there's something that maybe you just haven't fully surrendered to Christ. I would tell you, encourage you, when you surrender to Him, see, it's those things that bind you, hold you down. But when you surrender to Him and say, God, I just want to know you, and I want you to be Lord of every area of my life, I want to tell you, life begins right there. Would you bow your heads with me? I just want to simply lead you in a prayer today to do just that, if that's where you are. Surrendered life is a blessed life. Blessed life doesn't mean just the abundance of things. It's not in things. It's in a person. It's discovering a person. It's knowing Him. Paul said, all those things that I had achieved, I counted as nothing but to know Him. Oh, that I may know Him. Today you're here and it's something in this message that spoke to you and you need to know Him. Maybe it's in some area. Maybe it's in all of your life. Perhaps today you've never committed your life to Christ. Or perhaps you have, but you've taken it back and it's not working. I want to just help you with that. I want to lead you in a prayer of surrender, of giving Him your life. And it's really prioritizing your life. It's saying, Lord, you're first. You're my everything. I acknowledge you, and I give that to you. I want to lead you in a prayer, but if that's you today, and you know that you need to pray that kind of prayer, I just simply want to help you with some words and leading you in a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come to the front, but right where you're seated. If that's you, would you have the courage just to slip up a hand so I know who I'm agreeing with, and you can put that right back down, and I'm going to lead you right there where you are. Just say, today, Lord, and it may be some area. Just, if that's you, just slip up a hand and put it right back down. I'm going to just lead us in a prayer today. And you can remain anonymous. It's fine. God bless you today. Yes, God bless you. God bless you today. All right, if you need to pray this prayer, if you raised your hand or didn't raise your hand, but you know you need to pray this prayer just right where you're seated, let me just help you with this. Just simply pray this. Just say, Lord Jesus, today, I give you my life. Thank you for offering life and life to the fullest. Today I turn from my way and I turn to you. I accept that you died to pay for my sins. I accept the gift of life. Thank you for forgiving me. And thank you for changing me. And today, with all my heart, I'm going to follow you. Thank you for making me brand new. Say this, I declare you as the Lord of my life.